It's time for HBCU Play.
Welcome to another episode of HBCU Play. LaRisha Harris here alongside me, Sam Crenshaw. A lot to talk about today. So just like every other show, we get things going with...
Here's this week's starting lineup on HBCU Play.
The starting lineup.
That's right. The starting lineup this weekend at the top. It gets no bigger in HBCU athletics than talking about what North Carolina A&T has done. Depending on which poll you look at this week, LaRisha, for FCS teams, either they're ranked number 5 or number 6 in the country after that big 28-23 win over East Carolina University. And it's a game they had to wait a day to play this game because they had storms and lightning all night Saturday night. They had to wait and play the game Sunday afternoon. And it was big to see A&T get that win and off to a 2-0 start. It's so impressive for that program.
28-23 win over East Carolina. Their quarterback, Lamar Raynard, now improves to 28-0 as a starter in his career with the Aggies. Major. That is major.
And another big defensive play by Franklin McCain, the cornerback. He keeps coming through with big plays. This time an interception, taking it to the house, a pick six. A big that got things going for them in the first quarter. Also a tip and a cap to Khalil Carter, who came off the bench in the fourth quarter to lead the Aggies offense. So they get that big win, the national ranking, and they pick up a $300,000 check. Coach Sam Washington talked about after the game. He was so excited to show that. He was fired up. He said, give me my money.
Hold on, let me play it for you. Let me play it for you.
The sky's the limit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The only thing can stop us is us.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we going to get better, though.
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay, but I tell you what, you all have hearts of champions.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
In the heart of a lion.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You want one last thing?
Oh, yeah.
Tell them to bring me my money.
Yeah! That was funny.
What about it? Give me my money.
What else is funny, too, though, is what a former Aggie himself actually tweeted. Tariq Cohen, we all know him, made that huge breakout Celebration Bowl, now playing with the Bears. He tweeted a couple of days ago, I sent my high school highlights to ECU every day my senior year in my fourth period class. Never got a response from them. So happy I didn't.
How about
Hashtag
that?
Aggie pride. And he even went a step further to screenshot and show an email that he sent December 14th, 2012.
How about that?
That's crazy.
Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
We're out to him. And shout out to Tariq. They open the season. The Bears open the season this week. They're on the Sunday night game against the Green Bay Packers. So look to see him do a great thing and have a great season there with the Bears this year.
Another big game that happened, we saw the MEAC SWAC Challenge take place here in Atlanta over at Georgia State Stadium. Prairie View A&M off to a good start. Defeated North Carolina Central 40-24. Now, this game was not that far. The score was not this much initially, but something happened in the fourth quarter for Prairie View A&M, and they just, like, took off. So that was a huge win for the new first-year head coach, Eric Dooley. Prairie View A&M coming out on top.
Everybody's talking about Coach Dooley's threads he had on after the game at the post-game press conference. He was dressed kind of nice for that.
Kind of nice? Kind of. He was real nice.
You know what? You know, they got up to a great start, 23-7. North Carolina Central was down, and then they battled their way back. They got it back to 26-24, and that's when Prairie View just found another gear and just pulled away from them. Very impressive win for this Prairie View team that should have beaten Rice in the season opener. Mm-hmm. Good things are happening down at Prairie View.
264 passing yards and 2 touchdowns and a scoring run from their quarterback, Jalen Morton. He's also doing a fantastic job. Had to make sure we give him a shout-out, too. Another game, this one on the other side of the spectrum, though. It was a loss, but I like to think of it as a brilliant loss. We saw Howard going up against Ohio U. They unfortunately dropped this game 38-32. But Kalen Newton doing what he does best, passing for a career high 439 yards. The man is legit.
Yeah, what an effort. Over 640 yards total offense for the Howard University offense, but still Ohio U comes away with the win. Ohio U, I think, was preseason favorite to win their conference in the MAC. So, I mean, they're a great program, but Howard went there and gave them all they want and really had a chance to come out with a victory. I mean, what an effort once again for this Howard team. And they're going to try the MAC again. They're going to put another team from that conference this week when they take on Kent State. Let's see if Kalen Newton and company can pull out the win this time.
Going over to Morehouse now, they had a huge win as well over Arkansas Pine Bluff, a SWAC school, this weekend. They came out successful.
34-30, final score in that game. They went on the road.
And they have another road game this week. They actually travel to Lane, and we're going to hear from their head coach. He's joining us during our segment, Straight from the Source, Rich Freeman, going to talk all about that game, what went right for them, what went wrong, how they can improve. And also, he's going to let us know just other things that's going on with him right now. But yeah, we'll hear from him coming up shortly.
Talk about the AU Center. Some news over there this week, Larisha.
Basketball great and part owner of the Atlanta Hawks, Grant Hill. He's actually going to be inducted into the Naismith Hall of Fame tonight. But Spelman College, Morehouse, and Clark Atlanta University, they have received a surprise gift from the Hawks in honor of Grant Hill. So the Hawks have made this contribution to the AU Center institutions to recognize Hill again for his induction into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. Steve Koonin with the Hawks surprised some of the students and Hill August 30th with a gift that will benefit 33 students on those campuses. 33 significant to the jersey number that he wore.
Yeah.
All throughout his career. So I thought that was a really great story and a great time to do it, especially since he's about to be inducted as one of the greats forever and ever.
Yep, and a great contribution, obviously, to those students there attending in Atlanta University Center Institution. All right, we are just getting started with this week's show. So glad you're with us, but stay with us because coming up, we're going to go straight from the source with Morehouse head football coach Rich Freeman. I'm Sam Crenshaw with Larisha Harris, and you're listening to HBCU Play.
Time out. There's more coming your way on HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. When you want to know what's happening in HBCU sports, you need to get the info straight from the source.
Pay attention, son. This is for your own good.
Here's Larisha Harris and Sam Crenshaw with more of HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back, everyone, to HBCU Play. Sam Crenshaw along with Richard Harrison. It's time to go straight from the source. We have someone joining us in studio after a big, big win. We call it an upset win. Do you want to call it an upset? I guess we will. Morehouse 34, Arkansas Pine Bluff 30 in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And the head coach of the Maroon Tigers, Rich Freeman, joins us now. Coach, welcome to HBCU Play and congratulations.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you, and I'm happy to be here.
Talk about that going out there to play that game. You had a tight one with them, and they got away from you last year. Thoughts about going into that game this year out at Pine Bluff?
Well, we went into the game, first and foremost, with nothing to lose. You know, we made it clear to our team that we were playing a heavily resourced football team, being that they were Division I AA and we're Division II. Just told them to go out there and play within philosophy, which is, you know, fast, hard, and smart for us. And so the kids went out there with no pressure. They played within our philosophies, and they were able to hang on and bring the victory home.
You jump out to a 14-0 lead. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what the vibe was on your sideline, but how did the players handle that?
Well, you know, it was pretty much business as usual. We saw some cracks in their defensive front. In the which provided a spark for our run game, and so we were able to capitalize off of that. And we had some key players that were playing out of position last year. We did some poor evaluating last year with the type of players that we recruited. Had some guys out of position, and we found out at the end of the season. So we couldn't wait to get to this season and get them in the right positions. And Santo Dunn was the guy that benefited from that.
Yeah, he actually finished with 159 yards rushing, 14 carries and 2 touchdowns. Talk about, or rather, explain his play.
He's an electric football player, quintessential Miami football player. We were able to, we found him. He came up from Miami and moved to Griffin, Georgia, and he lit it up for Griffin High School, and we were able to find him in the ninth hour of recruiting, and had him playing out of position, at receiver last year. This year we decided, hey, let's put him at running back and give him the ball every time. And, you know, we did. And he was on fire for us on Saturday.
He sure was. Had a 77-yard touchdown run that made the score 28-14. But then that's when we saw UAPB immediately answer, I believe probably within like 30 seconds. What did you say to your team, I guess, to go and attack that moment of tit for tat that you were seeing with UAPB?
Well, you know, one of the things I talked with our team and coaching staff about was playing football in a fashion where things made sense. You know, it doesn't make sense for us to give up a 70-yard touchdown pass, 70, 80-yard touchdown pass with 40 seconds remaining in the half. You know, you want to be able to make them drive the field, so on and so forth. So we had some inconsistencies in our secondary. We lost some guys, some key guys, due to academics eligibility, one in particular. And we had new guys in the secondary. And, you know, so we just got to continue to work with them. One had one practice before the game. So the game was his second time from scrimmage the whole time during fall camp.
Y'all just kind of threw him out there to the wolves, huh?
I mean, essentially. Yeah. And, you know, that's the fleas that comes with the dog for, you know, small college football. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes, you know, it's either certification, it's injuries, it's depth issues. And so I'm just glad that they were able to get it together, because the same kid that made – some bad plays end up making the game winning saving tackle.
Yeah, William Callaway.
Yeah.
Right. Well, he made the
he made the sack.
He made the sack.
That forced the fumble.
Right, but they threw like a 40-yard pass, and the kid was getting ready to go and score a touchdown, and our safety ran over and tackled him on the 2-yard line.
Whoa.
So that was the first ability to save the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah. You had 305 yards on the ground, but 262 through the air. Pretty balanced attack. And I see the very familiar name on the receiving end of that first touchdown pass in the game.
Tamarick Vanover.
Boy, people who followed football and followed the NFL and Florida State back in the day will remember that name.
His mom and dad, they're class act. Well, I tell you, Tamarick Vanover Sr., you know, we had to take that kid, you know, just going back and looking at the bloodline with his dad at Florida State and, you know, for the time that he spent in the NFL. And he's definitely he got off to a slow start, you know, freshman and sophomore year. He didn't blossom as fast, but boy, did he blossom in that junior and senior year. And he's a chip off the old block. So I'm happy with that kid.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, you get that first win under your belt. It's always better when you win that first game. And now you're in your first conference game. You're going to go up to a place you're very familiar with, of Lane College.
Yeah, spent some time there. You know, was hired under the late president, Dr. Wesley C. McClure. Turned that campus around, and I tell you what, they're flying now. You know, they've come from leaps and bounds, and it'll be good. It'll be somewhat of a home coming for me. My wife is from Memphis, so you know, get on that side of Tennessee, West Tennessee, should be thrilling. I'm excited.
So, what would you say are a few takeaways from your first game that you guys could go into your second game better at? How do you improve both offensively and defensively?
Well, offensively, I think we have to capitalize when we have a chance to put the game away. I thought there were some opportunities, and I made a blunder myself. We were in the red zone, and we had the wind behind us, and instead of kicking the field goal, I decided to go for it. I thought that was all ego on my behalf. And sometimes we as coaches, we suffer with that. So I have to get better at managing the game. The offense's responsibility is to keep us from being in that situation where we have to make that tough call, go ahead and get the first down, so on and so forth, keep the drive moving. Defensively, as I said earlier, you know, we have to find some consistency on the back end. I think our front end is amongst the finest in college football Division II. We finished number 2 in the nation in sacks last year, and that's all Division II teams. And we finished number 1 in tackles for loss. And we have four of those 5 kids that anchored that defensive line back. So we have all the confidence in the world in them, but we got to get, you know, that's only one piece of it. The back end is the last piece, the most important piece, because they defend the end zone. So we got to find some consistency in that area.
You talk about those things. Talk a little bit about Morehouse and just how things are going with recruiting. And you talked about a kid like Tamarik Vanover, and we know about his background. But on the recruiting trail is something I always look at, especially these days with HBCUs. We're hearing so many positive stories about football and athletics at HBCUs. What kind of reaction do you get, you and your coach staff get when you
– Well, I tell you what, we're in the conversation. And that's all you can ask as a coach when you accept the job. You know, what is it something that people are buzzing about? And definitely with the academic prominence, the stake that we hold with the civil rights movement, you know, and just history as being one of the top schools. Now, we all know HBCUs, but we're one of the top colleges in the United States of America. We have a very aggressive president and Dr. Thomas, newly hired president, that strikes me as a mover and a shaker. I was thrilled to hear that he has an athletic background. Yeah. He was a football player as well. You don't find very many college presidents that played football.
Right.
So, you know, I think the campus is on fire also after the basketball season. Our basketball season lit it up about as best as has ever been done in the history of our basketball
program. That they did.
So, you know, so the parents understand some of the things that we previously talked about with the history and the tradition. So that puts us in the conversation. We are Division II limited resource, so we can't compete financially with some of those other institutions. But at the same time, just being in the conversation gives us a chance.
Coach, your institution, the athletics program, will now give fans an opportunity to basically attend games even if they aren't in the actual stadium. I'm talking about something called Morehouse in the Zone. It will allow fans an inside live look at all of the football games when the Tigers are in the red zone and any field goal attempt. It's basically you can watch the live stats for all the home games you saw for the season opener and a few other games. Your thoughts on Morehouse in the Zone?
I mean, it's awesome. It's all, you know, recruiting, exposure. I take our hats off. We take our hats off to Ruben Perez, Andre Patillo, our athletic director, for, you know, these cutting edge ideas, if you will. Any, you know, small holes sink great ships. I don't care how, just long as it's something that's moving in the right direction to try to continue to build and bring recruits in, to continue to increase upon the visibility of the college, so to speak. I think all of it is helpful. So I'm thrilled and excited to see the outcome of what's being done at this point.
But we're just thrilled. Well, I got to mention also, too, people watching a certain actor these days who is a product of Morehouse football program, and John David Washington. I think he still holds all the rushing records there right now. Do you still hold the rushing records?
Well,
David Carter beat him.
He broke his records, but you know, it was by the skin of on his teeth, you know. I didn't get a chance to coach John David. I ended up getting the job in 2007, which is a year after he had left. Mm-hmm. I did get a chance, however, to coach against him, and that was an inauspicious occasion for me because he rushed for over 200 yards when I was a defensive coordinator against our defense. So, so I know all too well about what he did and his mark that he put in the athletic program and also just in the community. And that's why we're definitely looking forward to supporting them. We supported his dad last weekend, took the kids to see the Equalizer 2, and we'll go see the Black Klansmen as a team this weekend coming up. Support John David.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, we thank you for coming and spending some time with us, and congratulations on the great start to the season. Hope you get to back and spend some more time with us and have a fantastic season as you get into conference play.
You bet. We're going to take it one week at a time.
All right. That is Coach Rich Freeman joining us here on HBCU Play. Coming up next, we're going to hear from the legendary voices of HBCU athletics, Charlie Neal. That's next on The Playbook on HBCU Play.
Time out. Stay where you are for more HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. We're breaking down the X's and O's.
That's precise.
In The Playbook.
That's a precise breakdown.
On HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back to HBCU Play. LaRisha Harris here alongside me, Sam Crenshaw. And now it's time for us to dive into the playbook where we talk about all the games that happened previously and we just go a little bit deeper into them. And going deeper into the games with us this week, we have longtime voice of HBCU sports, Charlie Neal, joining us on the phone. Charlie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right, even though you've been talking a little trash to me.
About Bethune-Cookman?
Yes.
Well, that's a team that scored only 3 points last week, but let's move on.
You know what?
I couldn't help it.
You know, I'm going to let you be great today, Charlie, because we have a lot of good stuff to talk about. The first big thing, North Carolina A&T, man, another big win for those guys, upsetting East Carolina 28-23. Your thoughts on their play?
Well, they're doing a fantastic job this year, especially with their quarterback that they have down there, Lamar Raynard. He's doing a fantastic job. I mean, the receivers are doing a good job. And their defense is playing extremely well. I mean, that's the reason that they have a ranking that they have right now. They top five national ranking, which matches their best in the history of the school. In one poll, in the coaches' poll, they're ranked sixth. So, you know, a lot of people felt after that 12-0 start, Rod Broadway steps away and a new coach comes in, Sam Washington, who's, you know, 58 years of age and getting his first head coaching job, whether or not they would be able to sustain what they were able to do over the last year, a couple of years to be exact. And they have not missed a beat. I think they've won like 14 games in a row now, you know, going back to last year. So they're a team to be reckoned with. Like I said, they're ranked five in the FCS top 25 poll. And I believe they're ranked something like sixth in the FCS coaches poll. So that in itself is saying a lot. In fact, they're the only HBCU that's ranked in the top 25 in either of the top FCS top 25 or the coaches poll.
Charlie, we followed HBCUs for a very long time, and a lot of people watching this North Carolina A&T program. I like the way they're doing things. You know, a lot of people come out about not playing the big money games against the Power 5 schools, and it looks bad, the final scores. A&T is going for a smaller check. I think they got $300,000 and travel expenses to come to East Carolina. But you're playing a mid-major, and you're giving yourself a chance. And when you can go in and beat that in-state mid-major, you can get something more, to me, of greater value. You can take away some of their recruits.
Oh, no question about that. I mean, they beat Jacksonville State the week before, which is a top-notch FCS school. Jacksonville, they forced four turnovers, and Jacksonville had no losses in the Ohio Valley Conference the last 4 years. So that was a quality win against Jack. And these games were on the road, remember. These were not games that they played in Greensboro. They played these road games on the road. And, of course, again, they beat East Carolina, which is an FBS school. They beat them by 5 points. So, you know, these are the types of things that have people standing up and taking notice to the program, the type of program you have. The A&T overall, and I'm just talking about their football team. Over the last year, they have done a fantastic job in a number of sports. The women's basketball team played very well in the tournament last year. The men's basketball team did extremely well in the tournament last year. Their track and field team just won the outdoor championship I think it was on the men's side or women's side. I can't remember which one it was, but they both, the men and the women, won the indoor track championship, and their bowling team has done well. So it's a culture that they have there in Greensboro that seems to transcend and trickle down to all of the sports. And you have to thank the president and the athletic director for putting the pieces and the people in place to make that happen.
Yeah, spending some time here on HBCU Play today. Pleased to be joined by Charlie Neal, longtime voice going back to the days of the Game of the Week on BET, now with ESPN. Speaking of ESPN, the MEAC-SWAC Challenge was here in Atlanta Sunday. We got to see Prairie View beat North Carolina Central. Talk about what's happening at Prairie View, because we both remember some lean times out there, but they've got a new stadium, and they look pretty impressive.
Prairie View has done extremely well. I mean, you know, They beat North Carolina Central, as you said, in the MEAC Strike Challenge. They hit the road this week against Sam Houston. That's just showing you the type of programs you have. Watch out for Alabama A&M this year. Alabama State did something they hadn't done in years, even though they have to play Auburn this Saturday, which could be a disaster. But they beat Tuskegee in overtime, first time they've beaten Tuskegee in 6 years. You know, so there's a lot of things that are happening, not only in as far as Prairie View is concerned in the SWAC, but across the board as far as HBCUs are concerned. They're all playing extremely well. Watch out for Florida A&M. Here's a school that's revitalizing their program. They have been kind of dormant for a while on the MEAC side. You know, they're sitting there with one win under their belt already. They have to play Troy this week. But you know, like you said, those money games and the fact that, you know, I mean, I thought Prairie View looked extremely good against North Carolina Central in the MEAC SWAC Challenge. And that's one of the few times that the SWAC has beaten the MEAC in that particular game. The MEAC has dominated both the MEAC SWAC Challenge and the bowl game since they put that into effect. It's in December. The bowl game between the MEAC and the SWAC champions.
Celebration Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Celebration Bowl. Middle block there for a minute. The Celebration Bowl. So, I mean, those types of things, it goes a long way in terms of promoting HBCUs and putting them on the map. And the other thing that's been a big find for them is what ESPN has done with this ESPN3 and ESPN Plus. They give more publicity, more viewership to those particular games, and they're allowing these schools to stream their games live over those particular networks. So that helps, too, in terms of exposure.
Tuskegee, them going down to Alabama State, is that, I guess, something that their fans should be concerned about, dropping this first game?
No. It was an overtime loss. So when you go in overtime, that means what? You could have won.
Mm-hmm.
And they only lost, I forget what the score was.
26-20.
Close.
26-20, yeah.
Yeah. So it was an overtime game. Alabama State won. Tuskegee loses to an FCS school. They're a Division II program. They are still a team to be reckoned with as far as the SIAC is concerned and Division II. So I don't see that anything to be concerned about. Okay, so you lost to a team for the one time in 6 years. And you were talking about you've beaten this FCS Division I school for six straight years. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing I don't think to be concerned about. I could see it if they got shut out or beaten 50-0 or something like that, but that wasn't the case there. They were in the ball game, and Alabama State just happened to prevail.
Now, a brilliant loss that we saw, so to say, Howard. We saw them get a career-high 439 yards, 3-touchdown passing effort from their sophomore quarterback, Kalen Newton. He showed out, basically, and I remember reading something that said he took it personal, hearing that the coach of Ohio U basically said their game was a tune-up, and that was his motivation to go out and do what he did in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on his play?
Well, he showed last year as a freshman, true freshman, under Coach Mike London over at Howard University, that he was a true great find for the Howard University program. He might be the best quarterback they've had since Jay Walker was there. He, like you said, 3 touchdown passes in one game, 439 yards. They lose by 6 points against FBS school again. And it's nice because you remember last year, Howard came up with a big upset in their first game of the season year ago.
UNLV.
Right. A year ago out in Las Vegas. So that's 2 years in a row that they've had a great showing in their season opener, even though they came out short this particular week. And they have another test this coming week. They're at Kent State out in Ohio. So they go back to Ohio. And there's an opportunity for them to come away with a victory this week. So, I mean, and this young man is the truth. Like you said, I'm sure Coach Mike London used that quote. tune up. You know, we're going to go up there and we're going to tune them up. So it was not hard to motivate. Anytime you say things like that, you know, people are they have a lot of pride, these young men. And they go out there, they don't go out there and they spend all of those two-a-days or however long that they practice and in the heat and everything to get ready to, for the season, to go out there with the thought that I'm going to lose. If you do, you don't need to be out there. So I know that there's a lot of pride instilled in them by Coach London. And, of course, you got to know this young man, his big brother, is the quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. So, you know, I'm sure his brother's in his ear, too. So, and I'm sure he's talking to him for advice. So I'm very happy to see what he's doing.
Spend some time with Charlie Neal and wrapping up with him here. Charlie, I got one more question I want to ask you. You mentioned Mike London, having been an ACC head football coach now at HBCU. Talk about the recruits. They're so much more savvy these days. And it seems like with the climate of our nation right now, we could see more of these young men look to HBCUs. And since the days when the doors first opened, everyone has had a chance to upgrade and update their facilities. We're hiring some coaches from maybe outside the ranks who are coming in with some different ideas and approaches.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts about how that will affect, you know, with just the mood of the country, to get more of these mid-major talent players to look at HBCUs and come and play there?
Well, one of the things you have to look at, and you go back and not that far, is the fact that one of the things that recruiters were using, especially at your bigger mid-majors and your five conferences that make up the bowls subdivision or the bowl consortium, is exposure. Well, now with what ESPN is doing with the plus and the streaming and things of this nature, players are getting exposure. Yes, they may not be on ABC every Saturday night, on the game of the week on Saturday afternoon on ESPN or Fox or CBS, or NBC. But if you can play, you will be seen. Pro scouts will find you. You may not be the number one draft choice. You may not be a Baker, Mayfield, or anybody like that, but you're going to get found. A perfect example was Steve McNair. Perfect example, most recently, who wasn't necessarily a number one draft choice or first round, but has come along and done a fantastic job in his rookie year, was Tariq Cohen from North Carolina A&T. Players like that give credence to the fact that if you can play, no matter where you go to school, you will be found. And you can move to the next level if that's what you desire to do. So there's no reason. And here's the other thing that a lot of players have a tendency not to think about or forget, is that if you go to Alabama, look at what's happening with Hurst and Tua down at Alabama. I mean, the battle for that quarterback spot. Now, suppose Kalen had been the third quarterback going down there. Where would he be? Nobody would even know about him. Because he'd probably be sitting on the bench, you see. So, but yet he could go to a Howard where he can be the star. He can be the man. He can do what needs to be done and make sure that it all happens. That's what those players have to realistically look at. Where will I fit in with this program if I go to Howard, if I go to A&T, if I go to Tuskegee, if I go to Prairie View, if I go to Texas Southern? Where will I fit in? Well, if I go to Fayetteville State, where am I going to fit in? And can I fit in? And can I play? I look at what they have. I look at what my talent is. And how can I make that program better and improve on what they're already doing? And that's what young men have to think about. It's not, you know, if you're there, first of all, to get an education, because they have to remember that you're one player away from your career coming to an end, and you're going to be a man a whole lot longer than you're going to be an athlete.
Right.
So that's the one thing that they have to think about, you know, going in. But more importantly, how will I fit in and how can I best utilize my talent with this free education I'm about to get?
Yeah. Charlie, we thank you for spending some time with us. And, boy, we want to get back with you again as the season progresses. But thank you for joining us today. on HBCU
Not
Play.
Not a problem. And I enjoyed it. And thank you so much for having me. You have a good weekend.
Okay, that's Charlie Neal, legendary voice of HBCU Sports. Still one more segment to go. Coming up next, it's the kickoff with Sam and Larisha on HBCU Play.
Time out. We'll be right back with more HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. It's almost game time on HBCU Play. We're getting ready for the kickoff with Larisha Harris.
You are clearly so quick-witted and beautiful.
And Sam Grimshaw.
He's a righteous dude.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back, everyone, to HBCU Play. Sam Crenshaw and Larisha Harris with you. And now it's time to get you all set for the games coming up this weekend in the kickoff. Larisha, which ones did you see?
The first one, Hampton at Mammoth, 3 o'clock ESPN+. Hampton's first Big South game, the Pirates beat Shaw last week.
Yep, that's it. When Howard, we mentioned them this week and what they did last week, over 600 yards total offense against Ohio U and a loss. This week they're at Kent State. It is a 3:30 start. 3:30 Eastern time on ESPN+.
Albany State going up against Tuskegee. That's going to be a good one. 4 o'clock, the White Water Classic in Phoenix City on Flow Sports and ESPN3. Both teams lost last week. Somebody's O has to go.
Well, that's what we watch for in that one. Southern and Louisiana Tech, couple of teams down in Louisiana. They're going to be in Ruston, Louisiana, 6 o'clock. The kickoff time on ESPN Plus, and Southern had that setback against TCU a week ago.
Prairie View looking to win big again, going up against Sam Houston State, 6 o'clock on ESPN Plus. Remember, they beat North Carolina Central during the MEAC SWAC Challenge in Atlanta last week.
Sam Houston was an NCAA semifinalist last year, so a strong program. The Bearcats, we see how Prairie View does this week. Tennessee State, Jackson State, 6 o'clock start time, and it's the 29th installment of the Southern Heritage Classic in Memphis, Tennessee. Larisha?
I know, TSU. They beat my Wildcats. They beat Bethune-Cookman.
And Jackson State falls at Southern Miss. We see what happens. Big crowd always for that one. You can see the smoke from Atlanta. They came over in Memphis. That's going to be a big time.
Texas Southern at Texas State. That game happening 6 o'clock on ESPN3.
Mm-hmm. Florida A&M coming off that win over Fort Valley at home last week. Even after a lightning delay, they won that game over Fort Valley. They're going to be in Troy, Alabama against the Trojans. 6 o'clock start time on ESPN+. Troy lost to Boise State in their season opener.
South Carolina State at Central Florida. Another big game, 6 o'clock, ESPN3. The Bulldogs, they lost at Georgia Southern last week.
Mm-hmm. Here's a little SIAC against CIAA. Benedict playing up in Charlotte at Johnson C. Smith. 6 o'clock start time for that one. It is the Eddie McGirt Classic. Both teams looking for their first win of the season.
Now, Alabama State had that big win over Tuskegee last week, but they have a big task coming up as they face Auburn 6:30 on the SEC Network. Bama State, again, had that big win last week. Let's see if they can do it again over Auburn.
Snapped a six-game losing streak against Tuskegee. And then Fort Valley at Valdosta State. This game's a 7 o'clock starter on ESPN3 in Waycross. Call it the Okefenokee Classic. This game was canceled last year because of the hurricane, Larisha.
I know, down there in my neck of the woods. Yeah, you know, I'm from little old Brunswick, Georgia.
Yep, but it's going to be a great football game. I'm sure a big crowd's going to come out for that one, especially since they didn't get a chance to see those two teams play a year ago. All right, before we go, I want to talk about someone very special and really a pretty emotional time for the Winston-Salem State football team. Rams running back Farrell Murchison was diagnosed with testicular cancer earlier this year. He had surgery and looked to come back and play with the team this year, but just before camp, the doctor says, no, you have more treatments to go, so you will not be able to play. And this man was really disappointed. It's a three-month process of treatments he'll have to undergo with radiation and chemo. Last season, Murchison was the Rams' second leading rusher, 542 yards on 88 carries and 4 touchdowns. So he looked to be a starter this year and play a big role. He promises he'll be back to join his teammates. Last year, they caught it at stage one. Thankful for that. And by the way, this weekend, he plans to come back and see his teammates play against Catawba at Bowman Gray Stadium. I'm sure they'll be happy to see him there. We want to send our thoughts and prayers and best wishes for Farrell Murchison of Winston-Salem State for his recovery. And he gets to come back and play next year.
Yes, we love you. Well wishes and speedy recovery.
Absolutely. Now, if you missed any of the installments of HBCU Play, Larisha, it is online, right?
That's right. You can head over to WAOK.com. All of our episodes are online. This is episode 6, and it'll be posted in a few minutes, actually. So If you missed it, you want to hear what we talked about at the beginning of the show, just head over to WAOK.com right now. It'll be up there momentarily.
All right. You want to reach out to me. I'm at Sam Crenshaw 23.
And I'm at Larisha Harris. I lied. I'm at Larisha underscore H. That's LERICIA. Again, LERICIA underscore H. That's on Twitter, Instagram, all social media platforms. And don't forget, follow WAOK as well on all social media platforms. Simply WAOK.
Great to have you with us again this week for another installment of HBCU Play. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Yes, and if you miss a show, you miss a lot. But again, head over to WAOK.com so you can check all the shows out.
So long for this week. We'll see you next week right here on HBCU Play.
Thanks for listening to HBCU Play.